Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, we are in the loop, and we are broadcasting live from the Texas Star Grill Shop in the Woodlands. 25919 I-45 is the address if you want to come out. Not if, when you come out.
Yeah,
come
man.
Out and say what's up to the fellas. And for the next hour, only the next hour, you will have an opportunity to say what's up to Brandon Scott, B. Scott.
Yeah, man, definitely come check us out here in the Woodlands, man. I love it out here. I actually lived out here for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. My youngest two kids were born out here.
Oh, nice.
So I like driving out here. I'm glad y'all are here. So y'all definitely come check us out. Y'all were hitting on the question of the day earlier.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Your favorite moment from the game.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got close. It was the when y'all referenced Joe Mixon and some of his moments. For me, it was actually Joe Mixon having not one but two touchdown dances back to back.
Oh, he had them ready, man.
You remember when the one touchdown, they called it initially.
And then he kind of stopped because he knew it.
Yeah, but I think he got through
He got through it.
Through
he got
dance.
Through it and then looked around. I was like, why is nobody else here?
But it wasn't a touchdown. They called him down. So they score on either, the next play. He scores.
Yeah.
And then he has a different touchdown dance. So I appreciated the fact that my man was prepared not to just go back to the same dance that he did a few moments ago when they called his touchdown back, but had a whole nother touchdown dance ready for you.
They practice that stuff.
That
You've
guy.
Seen it?
Yeah.
They practice handshakes. They practice dances right before practice usually starts.
Not just that. Like Joe Mixon after the game was basically like, I'm never going to run out of touchdown celebration.
Yeah, man.
Which means a lot because he's been stacking up touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
He had three alone in this game. It feels like any time that he has a good opportunity to get a full game in him, 100 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
So he has to keep one or two on deck at all times.
Dude is prepared. Ain't got to get ready if you stay ready.
That is right.
And that is exactly what time is. And if you are even capable of scoring three touchdowns in a game, and now it looks like that's in some ways it could be their winning formula.
Yeah.
You know, like if you can lean on Joe Mixon, like you should absolutely do that. If you can score three touchdowns, man, you better have them touchdown dances on the ready.
And Joe Mixon sure can do that.
Absolutely.
So he keeps that thing on him. All right, let's do Around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Tired of the hassle of selling your tickets? Say goodbye to the stress and let their experts get you the best price. Download Quick Assist from your app store today and they'll handle the rest. That's QUICKASYST, Quick Assist. Your ticket everywhere. And, of course, on these Tuesdays, it's always interesting because Around the NFL seems to really lean towards the Monday Night Football game, which, Houston Texans.
How about that?
Versus the Cowboys. I do want to lean to the
Cowboys.
And
that hasn't been the case
this.
In 5 years.
And it really hasn't. So there's a lot of stuff. But I do want to lean to the Cowboys side of this. Would you like to laugh at their misery a little bit?
Of course.
Well, one of the things that happened, as I think a lot of people ended up seeing, was that before the game, and this was supposed to be a roof-open game. And I think the Cowboys hadn't had AT&T Stadium's roof open for a game for like 2 years. Like, apparently they're kind of like the Texans in some ways, where they got this stadium that they don't never open up, even though they can. But they tried to drop the top, and the Texans really apparently dropped the top for real as maybe it was an hour or hours before the game. Just a few shards or like metal sheets got loose. One of them fell to the field and was like maybe 3 yards away from a Texas staffer. Thankfully, no one got hurt, but it like floated down in the field. The thing that I found that was interesting was that there was another one. Everybody was talking about the one that hit the field because obviously it was cinematic and the video was there. There was another one that fell and it landed on the catwalk, and it just served as like a sort of Damocles up there because the NFL was really really concerned. They were like, look, y'all either have to get that thing down or secure it.
Hey, let's
otherwise,
duct tape
we
it.
Are going to delay the game.
Who's got tie wraps?
Not just tie wraps.
No, they
bro,
put a.
They sent someone
they
up there to
it.
Put bolts in there.
They bolted it down.
They bolted it to the
Some
catwalk.
Dude was like crawling on the little scaffolding up there, or whatever the catwalk, and he's got one of those battery powered drills and a bolt. Okay, it's fixed.
But you know what that made me think of? How heavy are those sheets? Because it looks like it was falling in the wind, but I'm like, if they had to bolt it down up there, I was like, yo, that one Texan staffer that nearly got hit by it?
Yeah.
Hey, man, he'd have had a lawsuit and a half.
Man, listen, so what does it say about my crew and my group chat that the conversation was how he could have hit a lick in that situation.
Like, man, I got there eventually, right?
I wish I was somewhere around that. I wish I could have gotten under a lawsuit or a claim somewhere. Yeah, I would have stuck my foot under there. Traumatic, you know, injury.
It's the mental anguish.
Yeah, mental. Here we go.
That's right. Mental and emotional
distress.
That's right. Yes. And if there's one thing we know, Jerry Jones likes paying out a settlement, don't he?
Yeah, he does.
But how about just
what was her name?
You're right.
So
how about all of that money for that stadium and all of these stadiums for that matter? Like how much it costs to build and maintain these stadiums, but to constantly find issues like this to come up?
A breeze blew that thing loose.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought you were going to go here. All these, you know, expansive, beautiful, expensive stadiums. And they don't open the damn roof.
Well, that part, too. That part, too. Like, how much it costs to build a retractable roof stadium and to not retract said roof. It's like, okay, so what are you paying for?
Man, I paid, like, probably a few grand extra for the sunroof on my car. That thing stay open. Yeah. It was open today. Like, and I mean, it's not like it's cold outside, but when it gets cold, it'll probably be open still.
With the heater on.
Yeah, exactly. It would be like building a house with a swimming pool and nobody ever gets in the pool.
Well, that kind of happens, doesn't it?
Yeah,
but think about the waste. Like, well, okay, so why did you do that?
Right.
Why did you just get a house with no pool?
Speaking of waste, the Cowboys seem to do that as well. And thank you for that segue. Mike McCarthy seemingly voicing his, without directly voicing his displeasure, with the whole situation. As you may know, Mike McCarthy is a lame duck head coach. He is on the final year of his contract, and Jerry Jones seems to just like letting them contracts run out. And I have a strong feeling that's how this goes, considering how bad the Cowboys are right now. But he said after the game that the team is frustrated, and he also said he wanted to play Trey Lance late in this game. So why didn't you? And maybe does that point to the idea that his hands are tied and Jerry Jones, in addition to making a mockery of himself on the radio, is out here making this team not as good after spending, what was it, a fourth round pick on Trey Lance and not playing him?
Yeah, it is painfully obviously clear that Jerry Jones is pulling the strings on this, especially if Mike McCarthy is willing to admit publicly, like not even toe the party line or give the party line of Cooper Rush is our guy for now with Dak out, or like whatever the party line is supposed to be. He clearly deviates from it here. That tells you all you need to know. And then speaking of Jerry Jones on the radio, he had some nonsensical answer to the question when your former colleagues asked him about, like, do you think that you guys should have gone to Trey Lance in so many words? Do you think you guys should have gone to him in this game? And he says, no, he hasn't played, and we're still trying to win. But it was just a real, just kind of a tough, rough answer from Jerry Jones, who does a pretty good job of talking his way through a thing.
Yeah.
He's not really doing a good job of talking his way through this one. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Not to say that the Cowboys would be headed anywhere either way.
I get your point on Jerry Jones pulling the strings, and I think it's valid, obviously, because he does. But who's the head coach? I mean, you
Michael
know,
McCarthy,
who's the head coach? What's his job? What's his job title? What's his job description? And by the way, even if Jerry Jones said, don't play Trey Lance, if I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm going out on my shield, man.
Going
Screw
out
it.
With the double birds.
I don't care what he said.
Hey, Lovey Smith style.
Trey Lance.
We winning this game.
Get warmed up.
Number two pick.
Yeah.
Not the number one.
Yeah.
We going to win this game,
get
baby.
Get ready, Trey Lance. And deal, you know, ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Yeah. Yeah, that probably would have been a good way to go about it. And at least they would have had a little bit of mobility once the Texans actually started sacking the quarterback. Yeah.
I'll give you some credit on here, Lopez. Like, you got to think about it. Okay, if you're willing to step out and say it, like, if you're going to stick your chest out and say it.
Mm-hmm. Is this Mike McCarthy half-stepping?
A little bit, right?
Yikes. Like, this ain't no half-stepping.
This is not necessarily keeping the same energy, if you will.
Right.
I will give you that, Lopez. Like if this is how you really feel, then show us what you feel.
Exactly.
I do understand.
Don't be soft.
But I do understand, like, just.
He's getting fired.
Putting the thread together. Like, this is clearly. Above him, right? This is above his pay grade a little bit. But I do understand what you're saying. If this is how you feel, go ahead and show us.
Yeah, so the Cowboys, down bad, to put it very simply. All right, let's continue around the NFL with another team that is down bad that unfortunately the Texans weren't able to get over, the New York Jets. And Diana Rossini, who's the Athletics football insider, she was on the Dan Le Batard show when she was asked about kind of the situation with the Jets. And she said, I don't think the Jets know if they want him being Aaron Rodgers, back. And I don't know if Aaron Rodgers knows if he wants to. I just think his options aren't going to be what they were. The Jets signed up for an MVP caliber quarterback. They did not get an MVP caliber quarterback. I don't think it's a lot that these guys come back together next year. Aaron Rodgers' experiment is over, right?
Yeah, I always thought it was – y'all tell me what you think, but I always thought it was a two-year experiment to begin with. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't really see it going past 2 years. Maybe if one of the 2 years went well, yeah. Well, neither of them did.
Yeah.
So you figure I could have seen them winning and it still only being a 2 year experiment, much less it didn't work. If they reunited next year, I wouldn't understand it from either side.
Nobody wants it. And by the way, we talked about it last week, Reggie. They asked him flat out and he goes, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. What the hell is that?
That is what we call a non-answer. A non-answer.
Yeah, well, Aaron Rodgers is good for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the experiment very much failed, I think, obviously. And now I can't imagine he returns as the quarterback because that would be hellacious all the way through.
Hey, at least they beat the Texans both years.
All right. Okay.
Right. Yeah, with and without Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. They were able to do that. There was that. They were able to beat a better – and the Texans were the better team both times.
They absolutely
both
were.
Both times. But the Jets can at least say that. In the Aaron Rodgers era, they did get the Texans.
Yeah, that one serves as a reminder of the frustration the Texans can have delivered this season. And a reason to not get too excited about a victory versus the Cowboys, but I'm still going to enjoy it.
Yeah. They're just such a bad organization.
Oh, man.
Like that, I mean, that is a way to look at it. Like, thank God. Like, if you are a Texans fan, and I assume you are listening to this, or whoever you're a fan of, as long as it ain't the Jets or neither one of them New York teams, they are god-awful right now.
Yep.
God-awful.
Not only are they bad, they have bad judgment, right?
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Who has the judgment of, hey, let's not just bring in Aaron Rodgers, but also just hand over the franchise
everything
to him. And I mean, a guy in Robert Saleh, who admittedly that defense was very good and hadn't had a lot of help quarterback wise then you oust that man.
Yeah,
like he gets
you
taken
undermined
out of that job.
A coach that actually showed potential before this guy got there. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't start looking like a joke until you undermined him and handed the franchise over to a guy that you clearly should not have.
And you're setting the franchise back at least 3 years. We know that from personal experience.
Yes,
you get some chaos like that, some mismanagement that's beyond the pale. You set yourself – I mean, thank God for Nick Caserio, because it could have been 5-6 years, you know, that this franchise was set back.
Yeah. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's Around the NFL. We're broadcasting live from the Texas Star Grill Shop in the Woodlands, 25919 I-45 is the address. And there's all sorts of stuff out here. You know, they got the Godney pizza ovens and Napoleon gas grills. You can save 25% on those.
How about that Heartbrand Akayushi Wagyu meats they have in the cooler over
there. Yeah, they have the cooler.
That's next level stuff.
They have special meats, as you mentioned, Wagyu meats over in the cooler. And last time they had like a specific sausage that got grilled up that was really delicious. So it's not just here, but place for your grills. You can get your seasonings. You can get your tools and, of course, some of your meats at the Texas Star Grill Shop. And if you get an order in by the end of this broadcast in person or, you know, on the phone, you can get an extra 10% off of any of the grills purchased during the broadcast. So make sure you do that. All right, B. Scott continues to hang around for the entirety of the hour. And coming up next, we'll get into B. Scott's thoughts here in the loop.
Yeah. It's going down. H-Town. Iron Clark. B. Scott.
B. Scott from Iron Clark. B. Scott from Iron Clark.
It hits just the same on the road.
Yeah.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We are broadcasting live from the Texas Star Grill Shop in the Woodlands. And shout out to Joaquin, who just came out, said what's up. The winner of the tickets, the Texas Ticket Tuesday for the Bears game. So he got the home opener in the bullpen. You can win those same similar tickets by coming into this Texas Star Grill Shop in the Woodlands, signing up on a Texas Ticket Tuesday to win tickets to the Titans game. But I say all that to point you back to the idea that B. Scott from Hiram Clark joins us live out here. And B. Scott, how you feeling?
So I got to be honest about this game, man.
Okay. Right into the thoughts.
It did not – this Texans win did not do anything for my confidence in them as a team overall. Like, I'm glad that they won the game. They absolutely had to win the game. But it didn't do anything for me, and they still had some of the shortcomings that have come up before in previous losses and previous wins that we've talked about throughout the season, right, ad nauseum. So it's not like this win or the performance that they put out there did anything to make me more confident in them as a team. But I do at least hope that it did something for their own confidence, because they did win the game and they won the game comfortably. Right. Like, I can't take that away from them, even if I want to nitpick the win itself, the performance itself. I hope for their own sake, which matters more. Their own confidence matters much more than the outside mind or any of ours here. So I hope at least for them that they took something from this game that helps them. Just the fact that they didn't lose it, the fact that they didn't lose three games in a row, which we have said could not happen. Right. Like, not just for the standards, but for their confidence, for the mojo, all of that could not happen. So since it didn't, I hope that they're able to take something out of this and actually do something for their confidence. I'll say, man, this for me, honestly, was a boring game until that Derek Barnett, Jalen Petrie play. Like, I was other than the fact that we're invested, I was bored with this game until that play.
And it was sloppy.
I think for that reason.
Yeah.
Like, it was a sloppy game. It wasn't particularly interesting. Even the storyline had been watered down, I think, because of the issues for both teams. And so the game itself didn't really live up to anything really until that moment. And the overall performance didn't do much for me in terms of how confident I am in them as a team. They're still somewhere around the fourth, fifth, sixth, maybe even best team in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, I think I tend to agree with your assessment on, like, the larger scale situation. Like, what are the questions that we had about this team, right? And the second half scoring really pointed to, can they execute offensively when they need to and consistently in order to face off against the best teams in the AFC? I don't think that you got enough of an answer there besides the idea that, hey, man, Nico Collins being there helps a good amount, and he can do some things with some individual brilliance, or at least bring some value to whatever you're trying to do, right? Like, one of the things that was evident, there I think there was a slant play on a third down that went to Dalton Schultz that he was not able to box out, and CJ missed that throw, and we'll talk more about CJ because we have to after that game, but he's not able to box out even with his big body. The only big body I trust to, you know, box out and just kind of use his body as separation is Nico. The only one that I trust on a screenplay is Nico, both offensively catching the football and being the guy who blocks on a screenplay, because one of them Tank Dell screens was just Nico Collins up there mauling and giving him space to operate. So, like, so much of this offensively, it still depends on, does Nico Collins bring you individual brilliance? Does Joe Mixon bring you individual brilliance? And that's no different than we were before.
And I'm exactly in the same place as you are on this. I think a lot of people are. The way I put it was, it's complicated, because the good part, it's impossible not to come out of this game and feel, damn, that was sweet. You know, just in the taking in the breath of the game and how it ended and how the crowd took over and, you know, some of the great plays that you saw, especially on the defensive side, and et cetera. But you can't ignore let me ask you what I asked Reggie earlier. Does it count? Does that second half touchdown count to you?
That is a good question.
When you take over the ball on the 35 after the Cowboys were desperation mode and gave up the ball on their own 35 on downs, and it's kind of garbage time, the defense is what won the game for you. It counts for them, to your point.
Right,
like,
exactly.
They feel really good in that, and you saw it in the locker room and all that stuff. But big picture, does that, like, because to me it was more of a, it was representative of second half offensive struggles. It wasn't just about they hadn't scored a touchdown. It was representative of, this is an offense that has struggled in the second half. Well, now they got the touchdown, but does that equate to, this is an offense that doesn't struggle in the second half? Because it did.
Yeah, it all depends on where you sit. Like, for all the rest of us, we sit on the outside and we look at it like, does that count? Kind of. Not really, though, for all of the reasons that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
For them, they can absolutely say that it did. And they can also point to the other things that we look at as glass half empty type of situations. Hey, the defense carried you. Mm-hmm. You got this big play, this big turnover, and returned it for a touchdown. These things happened toward the end of the game, and that's what propelled you to the win. But they can look at that and say, hey, well, that's what makes us good.
Yeah.
The fact that we do things like that is part of the reason why we're good. But no, I mean, it's the same questions that existed before exist today. Like, we were talking about, or at least I know I was, after the Lions loss, of all of the meat they left on the bone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those field goal drives in the first half. Forget the collapse in the second half, which is bad enough.
Yeah.
Not excusing it, but that's bad enough. Go back to the first half of that game when you've got those three field goal drives, and at least one of them for sure should have been a touchdown drive, and you don't get touchdowns on that drive. Fast forward to this game, which they win, and okay, that's great. We can celebrate a win. Oh, yeah, that's great. But you also did some of the similar stuff of leaving meat on the bone, not getting touchdowns, missing field goals. Like, there are still issues that have to be addressed with this team before you can really take them seriously. Beyond just saying that, hey, they're capable. We understand that they're talented. We understand that they can play with anybody. We remember them beating the Bills. We understand that they almost beat the Packers, right? They've been in some games that, you know, that were important, but they still got some things to prove, not just to us, but to themselves.
Yeah, but at this point, I don't know that there's opportunities for you to do that level of proving for yourself. Like, I think, and that's the tough part is, you mentioned kind of the capability versus the reality of what we're seeing, and that's been the conversation the whole year. And it's frustrating that you get to week 11, and I guess that, let me stop at that word. It's frustration. It's really what it is. I think some people hear on a victory Tuesday in this instance, and they hear kind of some of the things that we're talking about, and it's like, oh, man, it's negative. But it's a factor of frustration, and I don't know, as you mentioned, for those of us on the outside, there's going to be anything, there definitely wasn't anything that could have happened in this game outside of just flatly becoming a different team and pounding the living you-know-what out of the Cowboys that would have changed that for us. But maybe they saw enough of answers in that game that they feel like they have it within themselves to be the team that we think they can.
So I feel like we are in two different places with the offense and the defense, right?
Okay.
We've got enough data, enough sample size now to be able to say this. With the defense, we know their weaknesses, and we think that they're good enough to overcome it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what are their weaknesses on the defense? Sometimes giving stuff up over the middle, of obviously the slot position and man-to-man coverage, not something that we really love. But the guy who is the slot corner is somebody that makes plays. Like, we understand his utility as a football player to where we think they can kind of overcome that. And so far, as a defense, as a unit, they have overcome that. Like, they have performed at the very least a standard that you want them to, and in some cases, above that. The offense is the exact opposite. We know their weaknesses, but we're not sure if they are good enough to overcome them. The issues within the offensive line, C.J. Stroud somewhat taking a step back a little bit, the Bobby Slowick issues, all of these things coming together. We still, and this Cowboys win did not necessarily affirm that or tell us anything about this. Are they good enough to overcome the weaknesses that they have on offense?
Well, the thing about that, and I think this is what illustrated it for me with the offense, on the one hand, you say, hey, they only got sacked once. How many pressures? It was like 18, 15, 18, something like that, pressures they gave up. So,
and again, this represents an improvement still, right? Like, this offensive
that's what
line
I'm saying,
still
yeah.
represents an improvement.
But you're still giving up pressures offensively. And the other part is you still have some shortcomings because anyone outside of Joe Mixon, you ain't running the ball like that. So you're kind of in a different place there. But defense, I mean, I can't imagine you have more confidence, even though there are some depth issues, you know, in the secondary that we saw last night.
Yeah.
And some of the other issues that you brought up.
Yeah. And then on the offensive side, like, we were able to have fun with it. I know y'all did with the audio with Andre Ware going off on Laramie Tunsil and they end up scoring on that drive. And it's all good. They win the game. Who cares? But that is a very, I would say, indicative issue, right? The first play of the game, and you house it, and it's called back for a penalty.
Are you kidding me?
That did not have to be. That still exists and on the first play of the game. So for the reasons why Andre Ware was frustrated and why Troy, or you know, why these guys are calling
Troy
out on the broadcast.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That is a problem. That still exists within the team. You have to address that. You got to figure that out. And that's from your leaders, from your best players.
Yeah,
I mean, those are things where you're like, okay, are they good enough to overcome that against a team that's, say, not the Cowboys, right? A team that actually matters or in a position that actually matters when the games seem to matter a little bit more.
Yeah, and to that point, especially the illustration that you have of that first play with Laramie Tunsil, I think that there were moments, there is progress, but it feels so minimal considering the, like, 30,000-foot view of what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things is, how many times did it, as you mentioned, like, how many times did it feel like they were absolutely just whooped on the offensive line?
Yeah.
It didn't happen as much. But then in some ways, and don't say that word that you be saying sometimes, it does feel like you plug one hole and another one pops up because then you had the penalties come back for this Texans team. So, that's the frustration that keeps popping up. But, yeah, you're right. Like, you have two different sides of the football. And right now, one of the things I was thinking in this game, and it's mostly on the offense, but all the way around, so much of this team is not a house built on just, like, a firm general foundation. It's a house built on pillars, and there are a few pillars. Joe Mixon, Nico Collins, Will Anderson Jr. Right, because even during the course of that game, like, this is a Cowboys team that we were looking at offensively. Yeah. That we were like, oh, that's not, they're not that nice. And without Will Anderson Jr., you didn't get real pressure until like the late in the second quarter or into the third quarter.
Yeah, but see, I would even still isolate that to the offense, right? Because even without Will Anderson and without getting that pressure that you want, and this is not their first game without Will Anderson, they've been able to find ways to make plays on defense. Like, think about Derek Barnett, somebody who I think is real easy to forget about, but that's
picked up midseason last year.
Picked up midseason last year, but is a former first round pick and is like underrated talented. Like underrated, one of the more talented guys on the defense who you don't talk about. So like they've got some guys. I think that it's pillars on offense, but not a foundation like you would want it to be, especially for one that is invested as much in the offensive line as they have. For that to be a weakness is certainly disappointing. I feel like the defense has plenty foundation because you can go on every level of it and find somebody that's like, okay, that's a guy. You know, you can just go at each level of the defense and find somebody, hey, that's a guy. I think, and that's really the takeaway for me, is the defense did do the thing. They did prove to you or show to you, confirm to you, affirm to you that they are a championship caliber defense, even though they were just going up against Cooper Rush, even though it's just this pitiful Cowboys squad. They still play pretty much on brand to the way that they've been playing. They give up some yards, but they go out there and get takeaways, or they just make big plays and big moments.
Or takeaway opportunities.
Exactly.
And they drop a few.
They're just, it's largely still a disruptive defense, feels like a championship caliber defense. So the challenge really is on the offense. What are you going to be about? Are you going to be one built on pillars, as you say, to go with your analogy? Are you going to be one built on pillars, or do you actually have a foundation that can match the energy of the defense?
Well, one of the issues is the foundation on an offense is your offensive line. And to flip a saying of this Texans team on its head, ain't nobody coming to save you in that regard. You know, and so it has to just be your pillars have to really pillar harder, right? And I think one of those pillars being CJ Stroud.
I'm glad you said that.
CJ Stroud, like there were some plays that CJ Stroud left on that field at AT&T Stadium,
and especially
that would have made the offense look a lot better,
especially in the first half. If he was not, let's just be honest, he was a little off. He was a little off. If he was not off on some of those throws in the first half, I think they go away with a two-touchdown lead in the first half.
Correct.
And then we're like, hey, no problem, nothing to see here. But that's, again, one of the pillars. He can't be a little off. He just can't be.
Yeah. Well, they're not good enough.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not good enough overall as the offense. And obviously, like, a lot of this is predicated on him being special. Like, a lot of the excitement and the thought about the team is this understanding, this baseline understanding that CJ Stroud is special. And I think that's earlier in the year. I thought the first few weeks of the season he was still pretty close to that. But it has trailed off. And so that's the issue. This is not a one-off. It's not like you can just say, oh, not a great CJ Stroud game. You'll just kind of shrug it off. It has been somewhat of a thing.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that. But one of the things that was wild about this one in particular is that a lot of times with the CJ Stroud things, we might have been able to say, well, we can just wipe that away because it was the pressure. It felt like it was a little bit more than the pressure. We'll talk about that more as we continue here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, broadcasting live from the Texas Star Grill Shop in the Woodlands. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, where we might talk a little bit more about these Texans, but we definitely got to talk about the Rockets, who also played last night. Yeah, you might have missed that. We'll talk about that and more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Popping.
All right, let's get into what's popping here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. We are broadcasting live from the Texas Star Grill Shop in the Woodlands, 25919 I-45.
A lot of people come by, man.
A lot of people coming by, entering for the opportunity to win on this Texans Ticket Tuesday. A pair of tickets to the bullpen for the Titans home game next Sunday. And so come through. You don't have to be here to win it, but you got to be here to enter for sure. And then also you get here, you get an opportunity to say what's up to B. Scott from Hiram Clark, who is hanging out with us. And get your little Nico Nico's, which is delicious,
I will say.
Yeah.
Then, you know,
on top
of all that, get you some OG sauce. Get you some, I don't know, there's a lot of sorts of things to buy. OG, what's something to buy right here?
I'll tell you what, they got the Napoleon thing going on right
now. Very good. Excellent.
The Napoleon truckload sale still going on. They got big deals on that. And by the way, even if you call it in, well, we want you to come in, but you can call it in too. 10% off any grill. I've been looking for that looking for that Christmas present for him or her. I was just looking at that Rectech over there. That thing's a monster. And they got the Yoder pellet grills here.
All kinds of good stuff.
He didn't even say OG sauce. Look at him.
OG sauce, man. Right on the look. Right. It's an impulse buy, right?
What's understood
right
doesn't have
in
to
front.
Be explained.
That is fair.
You can get you some OG sauce up in here, man.
All right, let's get into what's popping. B. Scott, I know your heart is always with these Texans, but you also got an eye on these Rockets. And I have a feeling that they didn't get a lot of love last night.
Yeah, catch the damn ball. like, can that be my take? Can that just be my take?
The
can
whole
just,
take.
Like, catch the damn ball, man. He's their best player. He's phenomenal otherwise. Catch the ball, man. The play's right there for the taking. That's my take.
So if you don't know what the man is talking about when he says catch the damn ball, let me help you out. The Rockets play the Milwaukee Bucks at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee last night, and they lose to a reeling Milwaukee Bucks team, 101-100. Now it's on the second night of a back-to-back. So you might be able to blame some of it on that, but especially since the first half of the game was really, really tough offensively for the Rockets. But they rally back with a solid third quarter. In the fourth quarter, they have an opportunity. They go up 100-94 with 1 minute and 58 seconds left, and they don't score for the rest of it, including a final play where they had an opportunity to get a final bucket. Fred VanVleet with the inbound throws it directly to the rim, and it seemed like Alperen Şengün was more concerned with clearing out his defender than going up and catching the ball. Ball goes out of bounds. Game over. And if Alperen Şengün catches it, he's right by the basket. You can lay it in that 2 seconds and win the basketball game. But he does not execute it to the point that's necessary. And so the 5-game winning streak that the Rockets were on ceases in Milwaukee to a team that has a little bit of rumors that also tie them to the Rockets.
Yeah, I thought it was a dunk to win the game. Catch the ball. It's right there for you. It's real unfortunate. I thought maybe he mistimed his jump as well. Like it just seemed like a clumsily timed jump and unfortunate in that situation. But, yeah, you mentioned those rumors. I think that's the biggest, probably most hot-button topic with the Rockets right now. What would you do, or would you want to bring in Giannis Antetokounmpo to kind of – speed up this thing, right? Like that's been the question for about 2 years now, is do you have the patience to try to wait until either Alperen Şengün, Jalen Green, or some combination between the two emerges into either a good enough player to be the best player on the championship team, or a good enough combination of two players to build you a championship team, or do you accelerate and go get a star?
Where are you?
I am actually good on Giannis. Like, I get the Giannis thing. But I'm a little nervous about the injury stuff, and I feel like perhaps we've seen the best days of Giannis, but I certainly understand it. Like, if they were to do it, I'm going to be honest with you, it's not something that I would do, but if they were to do it, I wouldn't sit here and be like, oh, my God, I can't believe they traded for Giannis. What are they thinking? I would totally understand what they're thinking. It just would not be my strategy. I'm good with the path right now. I mean, look at them right now. They lost the game, but overall, the Rockets have been playing some pretty good basketball.
10-5. They coming into the game, I think the NBA app had them ranked fifth in the power rankings. That is fifth in the National Basketball Association overall.
Yeah, the thing that Adam Spillane and I have been saying on the H-Town Hoops podcast is so far so good based off of what we've seen. It's definitely a team that should make the play-in. Like, we're not overly impressed by what we see, but it is just enough to say,
I'm impressed.
I mean, they still got some flaws, but they are definitely a good enough team to say, hey, this is a team that absolutely should be in that mix for the play and should be in, not just in the mix, because they were in the mix for it last year.
No, they should be in the thick of it.
They should be
four or five, absolutely. You know, somewhere in there. I said it yesterday on the show. I think I'm more impressed than I thought I would be with this squad.
I mean, I think the defense is really big. The problem is, I think in some ways still, do you have a go-to in a big moment type of guy, roll the ball out there, a guy that you feel comfortable every single time making that play?
Yeah.
And I think there are still some questions. Jalen Green started out those first four or five games looking like it. The month of November has actually quietly been a little rough for him.
Yeah, their best players are too inconsistent, and their most consistent players are not good enough.
Yeah.
If I can oversimplify it,
you oversimplify and you get into a bad place, because the question then you ask is, who is your best player? Like, let's start there.
Yeah,
Alperen Şengün, right?
Yeah, Alperen Şengün is their best player.
How do those guys coexist if you have Alperen Şengün and Giannis Antetokounmpo on the floor together? Because I don't see a good path there, especially because Giannis works best when he has shooters, and you already don't have enough of those.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing that I would. Like, if you're in on Giannis, you are in on maybe punting on the Şengün thing and eventually trading him when you can. Now, for a little while, it'll be clunky, and you'll try to figure out this year, because you did just extend Şengün and you're not really going to trade him this year.
Yeah.
But that is something to look out for later on after the fact. Kind of like how you might think of with Minnesota, how they brought in Rudy Gobert. I'm showing my age there. Rudy Gobert to pair with Karl Anthony Towns. They did it for a little while, but eventually one of those guys had to go. It'd be somewhat similar to that.
I feel the Giannis deal is one of those things where maybe the majority of people are saying, I don't know, Giannis, kind of in your shoes there, B. Scott. I don't know. But then if it happens, they're like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, heck yeah.
I think I can transparently say that is going to be my position.
Yeah.
Like, I am not one to do it, but if it does happen, I'm not going to, like, be upset that Giannis is on the team.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, hey, Giannis is on the team. Mm-hmm. Let's go. One thing that you need to do 100% is remake the team. Now you got to go get shooters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, you don't have – one of your issues right now as a team, as a Rockets team, is that you don't have enough outside shooting. They make up for it in other ways. But you can't center your team around Giannis and be this type of shooting team.
No, sure.
They don't have enough knockdown shooters to support a Giannis-built team right now. So that's another thing that I look at. You have to almost totally remake the team.
All right, so something that happened this weekend is that a settlement happened between Turner Sports and NBA. Turner Sports, the proprietors of TNT's basketball coverage. Obviously, TNT loses the NBA coverage to Amazon. But they come up with a settlement that will allow Inside the NBA to continue. It'll be licensed by ESPN, so they will use it. There's a lot of questions that float around this, but Inside the NBA gets to continue to live.
Yeah, to me, that's like good news. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Upwards inflection? Question mark?
You cannot trust ESPN with it. I get that, or not like it with the ESPN brand. I know a lot of people were like, "Man, keep Stephen A. away." A lot of people are worried about the merging of the ESPN coverage, which objectively is not as good, and for sure people do not like as much.
Deeply uninteresting.
With this that is interesting, and it's like, hey, keep it the way it is. I get not trusting that, but if you're telling me the Inside the NBA, some iteration of it still lives, I'm going to be with that.
Well, they say it's going to continue to be produced by TNT, which is the hope, right? That it stays the same and all that. I just can't see a world in which ESPN says, we're good. Y'all just do your thing.
Yeah.
They're gonna impose their will on this show.
Yeah, and what degree is an interesting question.
This
also
is about not getting in your own way, though.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
don't get in
but
your
they
own
will.
Way. Yeah,
they
but
will.
This fits with ESPN's recent ethos. ESPN used to be the place where they build you up, and if you feel like your name is big enough where it's bigger than the four letters, you can find that money elsewhere. They've kind of gone in reverse now where they're willing to go, if you build yourself a platform, we'll come buy a wholesale.
McAfee.
But
they do impose their will a little bit, as much as he can hold them off.
I mean, that man cusses on ESPN, man. Like they're letting him cook to some degree, so you hope that he does that. A few questions that pop up: what happens with the studio show that they already have, which I guess a lot of people were like, okay, fired into the sun, I don't care. But I do think that there are some questions, like people like the Scott Van Pelt after games, like what happens to that one after games? And then again, what you brought up, B. Scott, what kind of meddling or insertion will ESPN have, even if minimal, to a product that people really enjoy, even if it doesn't always bring you like the most NBA knowledge? It's entertaining and it really does keep people involved in the NBA.
But when I say stay out of your own way, I also think about it like this: who should know better the gap between their NBA coverage, or their, at least the studio show between TNT and ESPN? Who should know better than themselves?
Yeah,
right. Like, they should understand this. To me, even
when does that stop? Then,
like yeah, exactly. What I'm saying is, I could see a lack of self awareness when you're competing.
Yeah.
But once you own it, once you've acquired it, well, now it's yours.
Yeah.
So there's no shame in it being better than you because it's yours.
Yeah, but it's yours.
So it's yours. That's why I go back to the point: stay out of your own way.
Yeah.
Game recognized game, and look, you've won.
Yeah.
You've won. So now that you've won, stay out of your way.
We'll see.
Seems simple enough.
We'll see what happens there going forward. Also, we got a little bit of news in baseball as Ichiro Suzuki, CC Sabathia headline, baseball's Hall of Fame nominees. You're Lopez looking at those guys both being
I think they're both locked. Some people would argue Sabathia, that dude.
They should moonwalk into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think both those guys. But what I'm more worried about, this is year 10, the final year for Billy Wagner on the ballot. He got 73% of the vote last year. Just missed it out by 5 votes. Billy Wagner has to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, let's do what we got to do. I mean, who do we need to get a hold of?
Five dudes.
Who we got to get?
I used to be one of these voters. I'm no longer. I actually did a little morality I'm out thing a few years ago. I'm like, yeah, I don't like the way this
Who's voting around here these days? I know Justice is gone. Justice is going. Like, yeah. I don't even know who votes these days. Mm-hmm. All of our baseball writers locally are really young. They wouldn't have the 10
McTaggart?
Years.
Yeah.
Oh, McTaggart. There would be one.
Yeah.
There we go.
How much do you feel like, because one of the things in baseball is I can feel the relevance of like numbers and accolades at some points fading. Do we feel like that's happening in some ways with the Hall of Fame as well? Or is that a bridge too far?
I still think baseball is the one. Like, it's
what a good question that is. Because baseball numbers have diminished. But I think baseball writers that vote for this still count. Look at numbers.
I think the traditional numbers have diminished, but mm-hmm. now there are new numbers and different numbers that matter,
yeah.
and they're ones that people are still getting familiar with. And we know, like, we're reluctant to embrace like math and new information and things like that. So, like, as a society,
Americans are scared of math like crazy.
Yeah. So, like, the newer writers are going to like lean into stuff like war and FIP and, yeah. you know, like the things that people don't necessarily know what it is, but the numbers still matter in baseball, is maybe even more so than they ever have. We just don't understand them as much. Like, it's not just batting average, ERA, like the things that are easy to comprehend or easier, more traditional to comprehend, is things that you actually got to like go to Fangraphs and look up.
Billy Wagner has to
put him in.
That guy is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no, he's a Hall of Famer by any metric.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion. I think you can go look it up, whatever metrics you like. Billy Wagner is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go look up the metrics just to do it.
You know what I love? I love when they start using these metrics on some old players from the 50s and 60s that couldn't even spell war. You know, they start translating. Well, he had a blah, 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 and a blah, blah, blah.
But I do think it's healthy.
Yeah, for sure. If there is a sport where you can do that,
yeah.
baseball feels like one
but
of
like those
ones.
Guys are like, what?
Right now, going back and like, and I don't even think you could, right? Like, I don't think we would have the reading. I don't know what the right word is, but like the actual tools to do it. But going back and like trying to find launch angle and that type of stuff.
Clearly, well, that's there's some things that you can't
but
do.
But there are some of these things that are actually helped by interpreting that way. And I think about it with basketball, where sometimes some of these players were not appreciated, but you go and you look at the advanced metrics and you go, actually,
yeah.
there's some things to be seen within this player's game that were not seen in the box score, and sometimes we do not have the vision to see those things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the thing about the new numbers is, to me, for the most part, they don't diminish the players that we already understood to be great.
Yeah.
It usually elevates the ones that we were possibly overrating.
Mm-hmm.
But the great players, even if maybe some of the saber metrics are not quite as friendly, they're not going to disqualify them. Like, a great player is still a great player. You can go back and like just reapply the new numbers to them. So to me, it does more, I would say, good than harm.
All right, B. Scott, we appreciate you coming out to the Woodlands to hang out with us at this Texas Star Grill Shop, 25919, for hanging out with us.
Fun time, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's always appreciated getting B. Scott's thoughts. B. Scott from Hiram Clark every Tuesday right here in the Loop. Coming up next, let's get into who hooped in this game, or maybe if you want to go a different direction,
let's do it.
But let us know. 713-572-4610 on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. We'll discuss that next.